Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 116 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
No, I'm not actually here this week, am I?
No, you're a hologram.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually involved, not quite, but I am in Houston, Texas.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm bound to be having a great time. I'm at work. I'm not going to be enjoying myself, am I? So we're recording in advance, episode 116, but it doesn't mean there's any less in it, does it?
Oh, there's lots.
There's lots. There's loads. In fact, I actually went out and about to record some of this week's episode, so
you
we didn't have to...
You had a power pamper, didn't you, Jason?
Well, you know, I went along to the Alpha Male studio and found out all about power pampering.
Hot rocks and Mantastic.
Yeah, hot rock on the shoulder. I'll tell you about that later on. Okay, you'll hear all about that a little bit later. And Phil Cook is the gentleman we'll be chatting to, so you'll hear that, me going out and about with the tape machine a little bit later. Also coming up today, we're talking cake.
I was going to say cakes.
Free cakes.
Lovely.
But not necessarily for everybody, it's for kids and kids' parties. Having a chat with Stephanie Griggs on that a little bit later on.
Yep.
Also we have music from...
The Lights, they're fantastic, aren't they? So we thought we'd get them back again.
Yes.
And I've got a new single out.
New single. They exclusively played a single for us sometime in the distant past. So we'll be hearing their new one. But also, we're now going to find out more about the Home of Metal, as Lisa Mayer joins us on the phone. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Claire Diamond mentioned some of the bits and pieces taking place at the Home of Metal in Wolverhampton, but it's not just about what's going on in the city we're talking to you from. It's throughout the Midlands, isn't it? So tell us more about how this came about.
Well, basically, I co-run an organisation called Capsule, and we've been putting on gigs in the region for about 11 years. And no matter what sort of band would come and play, they wanted to pay homage to the likes of Black Sabbath and Judas Priest, Napalm Death, etc. And so really 4 years on, we've now got a series of events and exhibitions that are taking place across Birmingham and the Black Country, which really celebrate the birthplace of heavy metal. And we've got in touch with a number of the bands, with fans and people in the industry who have all contributed to these exhibitions and events.
Now, when is the name heavy metal actually coined as a phrase to cover this sort of music? Because that must be a fair few years ago now.
Well, yes, many people think that it was coined by a journalist back in the 60s, a very famous music hack called Lester Bangs, and he was talking about heavy metal and referring to Black Sabbath.
But it's a genre which has it's evolved a lot over the years, and the way it's actually changed through things like nu metal and all that sort of side of the music, it's been a massive genre, hasn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely huge, and as a global phenomenon, it's as big as hip-hop or any of the sort of big genres that you can think of. And, you know, although the band started from the region, there are metal bands all over the world, as there are fans.
So it's something that's never actually gone away. Like, you have, like, fads with music where it comes and goes, but heavy metal's always been there, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, the amazing thing is it's never been, like, super fashionable, so in a way it's never gone out of fashion either. So I think the fans have kind of carried on being fans. It's kind of a lifelong relationship that you have with the music. So it's not something that you say, it's not just a fad, but you pass it on, your love of the music, down to your kids and your grandkids and whatnot.
And there's some very special events taking place with a four-day event across the Black Country this weekend, from the 1st through to the 4th.
Absolutely. We've got the Vintage Mobile Cinema, which will be travelling around the Black Country, which will be hosting a number of archival films and heavy metal-related films on there, and that's free, and that will be travelling to Dudley, Wolverhampton and Walsall. And then we've got a number of gigs, we've got a conference, we've got a huge film programme as well, and then lots of family activities as well.
Now, I know there's some stuff taking place at the Bilston Art and Craft Gallery too, so what do people get to do down there?
Yep, we've got Enjoy Blacksmithing, so there's a demonstration about how people used to do blacksmithing, and there's also a number of stories around metalworking as well, and the trades that were associated with that, and some hands-on workshops to do with metal.
And the actual chance to make something which sort of fits in with the whole theme of how the name came about.
Absolutely, it's like the industrial backdrop of the region.
And which is your favourite event, the one you're most looking forward to over the 4 days?
Well, I'm really excited about the Vintage Mobile Cinema. It's only a 16-seater cinema, and it travels as a bus around the region. So that's, look out for that one, because it's quite, you'll not miss it if you see it.
So did it actually go out and show films and things?
It was commissioned quite a long time ago to be used for factories to take around safety videos or safety films. To different factories around the UK, and it's been kind of done up over the last few years, and it's now being used as a cinema.
So I have seen that on the telly. I think it's one of its kind, isn't it? I don't think there is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Well, you can see it out and about. If people want more information, is there a website they can pop along to get a full list of all events?
The website is www.homeofmetal.com, and all the events are on there, and quite a lot of them are free and very family friendly as well.
And what's the full period of all the events taking place?
Well, the full season finishes at the end of the year, but this particular weekend of activities is from the 1st to the 4th of September.
And are there any celebrities coming down as well? Is there any of the metal gods appearing?
Oh, it's hard to say, but you never know.
They've been sent invites.
Yeah.
Check the website for further details on that one as well.
Excellent.
Lisa, thank you for joining us, and enjoy your home of metal. Is it your choice of music, or are you a Beyoncé girl?
Oh, no, I do love a bit of metal.
That's more your sort of stuff, is it? Cool.
Yeah.
But enjoy us and have a great time, okay?
Thank you ever so much.
Cheers.
Take care.
Ta-ra for now. Right, let's take some more of what a particular type of music we happen to enjoy down here. This is The Lights, and our first track from them, No Match for Genevieve.
Let me know if you're coming around, because I've got somewhere to go. Well, she was always messing around, you know. Someone to play. Well, she was only kidding around, you say. She said, let me know. Just let me go.
No Match for Genevieve. And that's part of a brand new album, Teenager of the Century. We're joined now on the phone to tell us more about it by Liz. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
Long time no see.
I know, it's been a while.
We want you back in playing again soon. So can we pencil you in for a Christmas song? Because we know, did we ever get our Christmas song? I'm not sure we did.
I can't remember.
We like playing Christmas songs.
Well, do you want to come and do some Christmas tunes then for us in December?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, lovely.
Right, you've got a booking for that one. That's sorted. So tell us what's going on with the lights at the moment.
Well, we've just kind of finished a busy summer of festivals, which has been brilliant. And then obviously the album's all finished. So, that's out in a couple of weeks' time, October the 10th. So, really excited. So just kind of taking a week off before we go back out and plug the album. We just had a gig last Friday in Camden, which was great. So, just looking forward to going back out around the country and playing the new album for everybody.
And what's the response you're getting? I suppose that a lot of them out there know your material now, don't they? Because I've seen you perform so many times.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, people, I think, expected a certain kind of thing with the album, and maybe it's a little different to what they might have thought it was going to be. There's quite a few different genres all mixed up in one album, but it seems to all flow together quite nicely. So far, the responses have been absolutely brilliant. So fingers crossed it'll carry on like that.
Well, sounding rather good. Enjoying it here. And where do you get to at this point in your career musically? Because with the number of songs that you've done already, have you started to think, hang on, I've got to repeat a theme here, or is there always something new to write about?
I think we kind of approached this album about 18 months ago and thought we had possibly 30 songs written that we'd never recorded, and we decided not to use any of them and start completely from scratch and then write it as like a concept, Teenager of the Century, about obviously we're approaching the teen years of this century, so just kind of our take on modern life, and we wrote all of the songs from scratch to fit in with what we wanted to the album to sound like. So we're constantly writing. We've got lots and lots of songs that we've never recorded, but that's what keeps it fresh and interesting for us, just keep writing away for different ideas and stuff.
Was you quite worried perhaps that some of your fans that have been with you from day one perhaps wouldn't have liked some of the stuff that you've done?
I mean, the fans that kind of listen to our old stuff, thankfully, a lot of them have stayed with us as we've changed, and anybody that saw us gigging, years and years ago, will hopefully agree that we've come on a long way since then, and not
evolved.
Not just the music's changed, but just everything really—the way that we perform, and it's what kind of happens when you know a group of people for 10 years. You kind of learn each other's ways, and you perform better as a group. So, thankfully, everybody's stuck with us, and they seem to really like the new stuff better than ever. So, that's great for us.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, you certainly have two fans here in the studio. That invite to get you back in is definitely open, so we'll work out what day in December that will be.
Great.
And we look forward to that one. Now, we're going to take a track called Holly. Now, has this got a bit of a Christmas feel to it with the title?
It kind of has. I mean, we're thinking that this one actually might be our next single, and this one will probably come out in autumn. But there are a couple of winter and snow reference in it, but it's kind of a folky pop song with a bit of the old banjo in, and it's a good one.
Well, we're going to take a listen to it. Meanwhile, though, you will give us the web address one more time so people can find out about your gigs and what's going on and how to get the album.
If you go to www.thelights.co.uk, all of our links to Facebook and YouTube and everything are all on there.
And you can get the music and sit back and enjoy tunes like this one. This is Holly from The Lights. Thank you for joining us. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you. Bye.
When I was just 16 months old, Holly came into my world. Though they raised me in the cold, she became my Christmas girl. And this ain't no fantasy, just a story that I tell. Happens somewhere every day, and means more than words can say.
children of my own. I will name them East and West. They will trespass in my home, but they'll always be my guests. And this ain't no mother's tale, just the one I know the best. Happens somewhere every day and means more than words can say. You're not just a hill of beans. Happens somewhere every day. It means more than words can say. You're not alone. For centuries together we have grown. When you ride with me, faithful, keep it in the family. Say you're not.
Lights and Holly. Lovely, wasn't it, that?
I enjoyed that.
Mm.
So you can bake a cake, can't you?
I can actually do very nice cakes.
Right.
Banana cake, chocolate cake.
But could you do something to order? In
if
a design.
Asks,
a design.
Oh, no, a shape cake.
And and a theme.
I tried doing a rocking horse cake the once and the
it went wrong.
Yeah, the foot fell off as I was getting it out of the pan.
I'm intrigued already. Maybe a repeat of photos would be good on that one. Tell us more about free cakes for kids, though. We have Stephanie Griggs on the phone. Hello.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, this is a scheme which is rolled out across the UK, and it's there to look after kids from a disadvantaged background who might be having a bit of a get-together, but the family can't really afford some of the very high prices to get a bit of a novelty cake and put the whole theme of the party together. So tell us a bit about how this all came about.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So Free Cakes for Kids is a community service. That we provide birthday cakes to families who find it difficult to do so for their child.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, you know, birthdays can be very expensive, and cakes are kind of an integral part to that. You know, presents will come and go, but you always remember the cake that your mum made you, sort of thing. And that's why I got involved in the project, because my mother did make me a lovely cake when I was three that I remember to this day. It's still the best cake I ever had. So
it's probably as big as you if you were three.
Yeah.
What was the cake that your mother baked? What was the special feature of that?
Well, the one that got me involved with Free Cakes for Kids, so that was a pink Ted Care Bear cake. That it was just beautiful, and I remember it to this day, so that's really why I want to provide these memories for children whose families find it difficult to do so.
So what's the most popular theme that you're seeing coming through across the country, or does it vary by area?
I guess it varies. I mean, at the moment we've got groups, quite big groups in Oxford and Cardiff. We have got groups starting up all over the country at the minute. But when I was involved in the Oxford group, and we had all manner of requests for things that I didn't really know what they were, like Ben 10 and the tweenies and all these things. I had to Google it to look at what they were. So, you know, kids have very vivid imaginations these days. So we do try our best to provide what they would like, but sometimes just bog standard chocolate cake will have to do.
Do you try and get, say, for example, if it was Ben 10, do you try and get his face, do you have to do his facial features, or would you just buy, a picture that you'd stick on the top that you can, like an edible picture?
It depends entirely on the baker. I mean, the purpose behind Free Cakes for Kids is there are so many people in your community already that love baking and have the capacity to do so for other people, and there are families that are in need and experiencing difficult circumstances. So we're not asking for professional bakers to get involved. It's just, you know, your normal housewife or student that's got a bit of extra time, something like that. So it really does depend on the skills of the individual. We've had the cake toppers, I think they're called. We've had some of those, or some people are quite skilled with sugar craft, so they can construct little creatures and things. And we do try and provide training for our volunteers when we can. Obviously, we're completely funded by ourselves. All our volunteers do pay for the cake ingredients themselves. So we don't have a massive capacity to provide training and such, but we have had sugar craft enthusiasts get in touch with us and offer training for free and things like that. So it really is a community-based thing and about getting people together and utilising their connections and just making a stronger community.
So it's not actually that difficult. Well, I suppose to get something tasting nice, it is quite difficult. But if you take your time with it and follow the recipe right and have a few practices at it, I'd say almost anybody can, produce something that they're going to be edible.
Yeah, definitely. And that is another thing that we do. In Oxford, we ran baking sessions, as we found that sometimes it might not be the financial side of things that is stopping people from making a birthday cake. Maybe they just don't know how.
Mm.
So we put on, in conjunction with a number of children's centres in Oxford, we put on baking sessions to teach really simple birthday cake recipes to the to people in the community, and they were really successful and people really loved them, so that was great.
So there's nothing actually set up in Wolverhampton as yet, but there's a possibility a group could start, isn't there? So how would it go about if somebody wanted to set up a group like this?
Well, definitely, yeah, we'd love a group to start in Wolverhampton. First of all, you could check out our website, which is freecakesforkids.org.uk, and you'll find all my contact details on there. So my email address, which is hello@freecakesforkids.org.uk. They can send me an email and I'll let them know all about how to start setting up a group.
That web address again?
That's freecakesforkids.org.uk.
And Zoe, we've heard you can do wonky rocking horses. Is this something you might be able to work on at some point?
I must admit, I do like baking.
But did people like the results?
Yes, I'm quite surprised. No, because I never used to bake much. And since I've been practising a few recipes, they're turning out all right now. I'm quite pleased with them.
I can bake cakes, but they look like a mess, but taste nice. So you never know. If somebody wants a splodge-related themed party, I could possibly do the do. Other than that, if the group does form, Zoe, maybe you're a willing volunteer.
But, you can hide a lot with icing, Jason.
Well, Stephanie, thank you for joining us, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye.
Let's have some more music, Jason, please.
Yes, our third and final track from The Lights. This one is 18.
Precious one to lose. I hope it's bound. Delights and 18. Now you have a beauty regime, don't you?
Oh,
yes. You have people to come in, look after you and relax you.
I do try.
Well, one of the ways you might enjoy being looked after is if we were to send you along to Phil Cook. He's up in Stoke-on-Trent. He looks after both men and women at his studio.
Men and ladies.
Men and ladies, yes. Well, you don't want to be called a woman. You want to be a lady.
A lady.
Okay. So let's find out what happened when I popped along to meet up with Phil in the Alpha Male studio. First of all, Phil, tell us a bit about how you got into the world of complementary medicine.
Well, I had sciatica for about 8 months, and I'd been to doctors, I'd been to the hospital and other practitioners, and never managed to get it totally relieved. And then I bumped into a friend of a friend who happened to be a reflexologist. I'm going back some years now, and I had two treatments. And after 8 months of sciatica, which is a really cruel pain for anyone who's really experienced it, and after two treatments of reflexology, I was totally pain-free. And I sort of investigated why this had happened, the way that the body works, and realised that we didn't need to take so many painkillers after all, that the body is good at mending itself. Like if we break our arm or cut a finger, within a couple of days your finger will heal. In a few weeks your broken arm will heal. The body is good at mending itself. I was an inquisitive child, actually. When I fastened my thumb in a door, a cupboard door, when I was a child, and it made me feel sick in my stomach, and I asked my mum, why do I feel sick? And she said, because you've fastened your thumb in the door. And I said, but that's got nothing to do with my stomach. And now I've learned all about meridians and how the body's healing energy works, and that's why we feel sick in the stomach. If you drop something on your foot, it gives you a headache. Yet your foot has nothing to do with your head. So anyway, I went down the line of learning more about complementary therapy, and I opened my own practice of Equilibrium in Stoke-on-Trent. And I've done mainly back pain, shoulder pain, sports injuries, the hamstring injuries, cruciate ligament, groin strain, Achilles that go with that, work-related injuries from drivers with their arms on the steering wheel for many hours, 40-foot trucks driving the length of Britain, taxi drivers doing lots of local driving, the milk float, the dust cart, all of them come to me, all of these people with various sorts of problems.
But outside of actual, you know, work-related injury or stresses, strains and referrals, it does tend to be mostly women who will go for the likes of complementary medicine and looking after themselves in that way. And is that something that you've seen in your practice over the years?
Yeah. When I started, it was about an 80-20 mix. Women were the 80-20, was the men. And most of the men were brought along kicking and screaming by a woman who was fed up of hearing about his bad back and doing nothing about it. But now I've got probably 70-30 of men, because out of Equilibrium I've expanded into the Alpha Male studio, which is solely for men, because in that I incorporate grooming for men. Women want to go to a beauty studio, the nail bar, and get that aspect of their skincare or whatever looked after. Guys haven't got anywhere, but the business is booming, and this has all come from doing some back pain and working with a therapeutic massage, and guys getting the realisation for themselves that massage is so relaxing, and allowing every cell of your body to have some time out in this very vicious world of commerce, where the hierarchy of the managing director puts pressure onto the area manager, who puts pressure onto the district manager, onto the branch manager, right down to the front line. And when you've got all of these people trying to please each other, when you're on the front line, the pressure is great. I have lots of people coming from within the NHS and within the civil service, which are two of the biggest employers in the country, of course. So naturally, you should get a large proportion of people. But all of these people, the one common factor is, I didn't realise how relaxing it was and how much better you feel as a person, allowing your mind to formulate, make decisions more easily, think orderly of what you've got to do, how to prioritise, all of this when you've got the stress, and it can lead to depression, a very, very cruel illness. I have 10 steps to preventing depression, which we'll probably talk about later or another time.
But how many times are people coming? Is it something they treat themselves to once a week, once a month, once every few months when things have got on top of them?
There's no one factor there. Some people will come on a regular basis. Monthly for the regular people is about right. Some people I see as necessary. So I've hurt my back, I'll ring Phil, and I might not see them for another year or two. And then the next time they've done a little bit extra gardening, moved the furniture, painted the ceiling, a little bit of a back pain, I'll go and see Phil. So I see those as necessary. Other people are ongoing courses of treatments. Some people, probably the building trade is the best example of this. Plumbers working under floorboards in roof voids, gas and electricity meters that have been put in the most ridiculous places. They always swear, you know, that meters are put in a site first and then a house built around it. Yeah. You can't get to them. So they find what's right for them. I'll go every 4 weeks, I'll go every 6 weeks. And you find what is best as a preventative for yourself, really. Everyone's different on that one.
But after a hard day, they might decide they're going to come along just to have a few things put right. It could be an instant decision. Phil, when have you got time to see me?
Yeah, and I give people the instruction on the three-day test as well. If you've got an aching back or whatever part of the body, if it doesn't go right in 3 days, it probably isn't going to go right very quickly without a little bit of help. And some of the regulars that I've built up now over the years have started to believe this quite easily. And yeah, they can be at work in the afternoon, feel the twinge. They're getting to know their own body. That's the twinge that doesn't go away on its own. Give Phil a ring and they're in on the way home if I've got an appointment available.
And a quick response could mean it's going to be less painful in the long run and less visits to put right.
Just the one visit, probably, there, you know. Sometimes we might need a subsequent one, but I do try to get most done in one visit, if I can, yeah. And I do grooming as well, which is a regular thing for guys. If it's body hair that needs shaping or removing, removal is out of fashion. You wouldn't believe that body hair could have fashion, would you? You know,
I don't know. Look at the 70s. I suppose there was a lot of it about in those days.
It was fashionable then. Yeah, the sort of to have a hairy chest bursting out of your shirt. But it's gone through the stages, the 90s and the early noughties, of hair removal and, you know, a cleanly shaven or waxed chest and back, even legs, you know. But with the rise in the number of men's magazines and men's healthcare and skincare products, and you look at any chemist and the men's fragrance counter is as big as the woman's these days. Mm-hmm. It used to be a shelf in the corner when I was a lad, you know, or Woolworths. You know, perhaps this is the demise of Woolworths. They didn't move with the men's counter. But the guys will come along, and nowadays the hairy chest, the hairy back is part of their masculinity, part of their personality, and they want to maintain it. So instead of it being long and curly and sometimes going a little, we don't ever say grey, you know, we usually say natural highlights is the euphemism we use there. So a little bit naturally highlighted, and that can age someone. If you're on the beach, in the locker room, at the gym, at the cricket pavilion, wherever, the swimming baths, if you can clipper down chest hair to about 3 mils, it will follow the line of the pecs, and it really will enhance the pecs more so than waxing or shaving it completely off. It really does give a better physique to have a little bit of hair on.
So you're finding people coming to have some glued in place, or is that not working? No offcuts.
I don't do that, but it's probably the next thing to put on the menu. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah. Super glue and leftovers.
Yeah, what a good idea. Yeah.
So, I mean, what sort of blokes are coming for this? Are they going out on the pull on a Friday night? They want to impress their girlfriend, that sort of thing?
That's it. Yeah, you got it. We've got right across the spectrum, from the heavy manual workers, the building trade, engineers, mechanics, right up to the other end, the guys in suits who work in the offices, work in the city, and they all want grooming. If you work on a building site and you do the heavy manual work, you get rough hands from handling bricks, cement mixers and all of this sort of thing, on a Friday night when you've got your designer shirt on, you don't want to look like a builder in a designer shirt or a designer shirt with builder's hands sticking out of the cuffs. So people will come and have a manicure. You know, a builder with a manicure was unheard of, you know, when I was a lad, even perhaps just a few years ago. But it's done in a masculine way. We don't do it with nail varnish and sequins and all of this. The skin is exfoliated with salts from the Dead Sea, and we don't use cooking salt. You must never use cooking salt to exfoliate with. That's sodium-based, NaCl. We use MgSO4, which...
It's a magnesium salt, yes.
Magnesium sulfate, yeah. Because the body doesn't like more than 2 grams of sodium per day, which even in a loaf of bread, well, you wouldn't eat a full loaf of bread, but a couple of slices...
I would, actually, yeah.
Would you? Yeah. But a couple of slices of bread, perhaps a little bit of ham, even a box of cornflakes, baked beans, all of today's foods have got salt in them, unless you go for the non-salt or the low-salt option. So just by eating a regular healthy diet, you're taking enough sodium salt. So when we do exfoliation, we can do it with magnesium sulfate salts, salts from the Dead Sea or Epsom salts, rubbed all over the body. There are other products which, if you've got quite a fair skin or you've had some sunburn or some tan, we can use ground almonds, coconut shells that are ground and put in with coconut milk, which is very moisturising, and I rub that all over the skin, go and rinse it in the shower, and then go for a massage or some moisturiser on top of that to keep the skin really nice and soft and supple. And there comes a time in everybody's life when you look in the mirror one day and you think, I need to do something about holding back the years. When you're 30 and you look 30, it's okay. When you're 40 and you look 40, it's still okay. But when you're 45 and you're starting to look 50, that's not okay. So take it in hand in the early years. Anti-wrinkle creams are not wrinkle removal creams. People mix this up all the time. People will come to me covered in wrinkles and say, do anti-wrinkle creams work? And I say, yeah, but you missed the boat.
Yeah. You've got to be in there at the right time.
You need to start to apply anti-wrinkle creams, and they will put the collagen into the skin, which will keep it really young and active, if you like. Keep the cell formation from ageing. So used in time, anti-ageing creams do work, but they're not miracle workers. They don't take away wrinkles that are well established.
You've got to give them a chance to be able to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course you have. And guys who come for facials, you know, let's go to the other extreme. I talk there about the industrial guys. Go to the other extreme, the guys in suits that work in the offices, the solicitors, in the city, accountants. They're still guys, you know. When we get home, we put the T-shirt and jeans on. But when you're out and you're trying to get $1 million deal or £1 million deal or €1 million deal, half the battle is the person you're selling to liking you. And if you walk into an office and you look good, then you know, you're halfway there. A good firm handshake on a nice smooth hand. The eyebrows, you know. If the eyebrows are thick and bushy with one or two long hairs sticking out, or especially if they meet in the middle, that looks sinister. It looks confrontational. So we just trim them down a little bit. And what I do with that on the first visit, I do one and not the other, and let you look in the mirror. And the wow factor with just doing a little bit on an eyebrow, little things. This is part of body language that we don't think about, that we don't perceive, but other people perceive it with us.
So I'm approaching 40 now, which is a bit disturbing. Say I was to walk in off the streets, okay, I'm a little overweight, so there's not too much to work with. There's no definition on me at all. But what would your first advice to be someone be when they walk through the door?
Well, I'd find out first of all what it was what you'd come in for. Was it some skincare? Was it a pain, an injury, or something like that? So. Anything like that in mind?
Say I decided I was going out the weekend and I wanted to try and spruce myself up and look a little more like it.
Actually, the 40-year-old birthday is the biggest seller of gift vouchers that I have, you know. And it is very much a treat because guys talk to each other, you know, in the locker room, in the pub and that. And at first they have a bit of a snigger and a giggle about a guy going for a facial or something. But before the night's out, they're asking more questions about it and wanting it themselves. So for you, I'd probably say, right, let's say you're going on a special date or a special meeting or something. We'll do some skincare. Assess the state of your skin, which at a quick glance looks pretty reasonable. So you'd go for a middle of the road exfoliator there, probably the coconut shell one. The rough skin, dry skin would use one of the salt scrubs. Somewhere in the middle, though, I think for yours. So we'd rub you all over with the coconut shells. They're very, very finely ground. I don't get the whole coconut shells. It's very, very finely ground and put into the product with the coconut milk, which is very moisturising. Pop you down to the shower and rinse that off. Come back through. We'd have a look at the state of your nails. Do you bite them? What are the cuticles like? What is the skin like on your hands? Have you got any calluses? Are your knuckles rough? And then we exfoliate that. That would be done with Dead Sea salt. In fact, I'll do you one of those in a moment, and then we'll talk about the wow factor.
Okay, right. So I'm roped into some testing here.
I'll just do your hands. That'll take just a couple of minutes, and you'll be able to say then firsthand. And of course, I don't want to orchestrate anything. If you don't think it's any good, please do say so. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever yet has, so don't be me first. But then, yeah, we'd look at your hands, look at the face. On your first visit, we might put a peel-off mask, which is sort of a gooey. It rather looks like Bostik glue. It goes all over your face. It dries on in 8 to 10 minutes and then peels off like a latex mask. That pulls all the daily grime off the surface of your skin and all the dead skin cells. On top of that, then, we exfoliate with a very light facial exfoliator. That might be oatmeal-based. A hot steamy towel then that goes on. We've all seen them in the Western films in the saloon bar, the barber shop, wasn't it? They did that in.
Yeah.
Opens the pores. We then put on a deep cleansing, pore cleansing cream, which is very clever. At an ambient temperature, up to about 30 degrees, it just sits there in the bottle. When it rises above 30 degrees, it has a chemical reaction and starts to make microscopic bubbles of oxygen, which go down into the hair follicles, into the sweat glands, into the pores of the skin. These bubbles get bigger and bigger and bigger, and put the deep-seated grime pushes it up onto the surface. That's then rinsed off, and a toner of witch hazel is put on to close the pores immediately so no more grime gets in. Then a quick splash over with some moisturiser and a facial spritzer of witch hazel in spa water, just as a freshener to the face. And then show you in the mirror, and you think I'm showing you a picture of when you were a lad.
And so then people maybe have a massage after that sort of thing as well.
Have a massage, yeah. Or I do packages which incorporate all of this. I've got the Magnificent there. A lot of these things begin with man there. So I've got the Mantastic Hot Rocks Massage, Mankind, which is the grooming, which is checking of the body hair and a little bit of the skin, the facial hair as well, the eyebrows, the nasal hair, ears, and sideburns. I leave your hair to your barber, though. I'm not a qualified barber, so I leave your hair to your barber. Just check all those over. Mantra there is just a nice, relaxing, no aches and pains massage. Let me chill out, stop talking, put on some soft music, a little bit of incense if you don't mind it, and just chill out. And ever so popular, can't believe it.
Well, what we'll do then, I think I'm game for this one. I'll leave myself in your hands, and you show
cool.
me show me some of these treatments and see how they work out for the guys that you bring through here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Phil, we set up now. You've got two bowls of water.
Yeah.
And some tissue, so far. Yeah. And I have two hands here.
That's it.
Okay.
And you know what they feel like.
I do, yes.
They do everyday things. They've just been holding your microphone, they hold your pen, they hold the steering wheel, they pick your nose, they scratch your bum, they shake hands. Mm-hmm. There's a good advert on the TV at the moment, and your skin is an excretory organ. Mm-hmm. It takes all the toxicity of the day, the diesel fumes, the dust that we breathe in, and it needs to put it out. The body doesn't want to put diesel fumes through the digestive system, mm-hmm. so these things come up onto the skin. If you have an allergy, if you eat a strawberry and you're allergic to strawberries, you'll go in a rash. Mm-hmm. It's putting it on your skin. The body knows, I don't like strawberries. What is the point of putting it through the digestive system?
Just get it out quickly.
And upset all of that that's supposed to be taking the nutrients out of our food to give us energy. Mm-hmm. So it gets up onto the skin. And then, yeah, as you shed your skin, you shed the toxicity of the strawberry. And it's just the same with everyday toxicity on your skin. And because we know what our hands feel like, we just take it for granted that this is how it is. Mm. But now I'm just going to take the smallest amount. This is salts from the Dead Sea, MgSO4.
Yeah.
Just a small amount on a spatula. I'm going to put it between your finger and thumb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way, yeah. I just want you to close your finger and thumb over that so that it's all on your hand. I'll pull the spatula out.
Yeah.
And then with that small amount, just gently wash your hands. Go through the moments of a hand wash.
Rub both the hands together.
Yeah. So there, that's it. Try not to spill it because it's no good on the tissue. It's mm-hmm. better on your hands. It's inevitable that you will, but mm-hmm. just be cautious a little bit.
Yeah.
Between the fingers, on the backs of the hands.
This is where I lose some as I turn my hand over.
That's it. You'll soon pick it up again. Mm-hmm. That's why we put the tissue there. And you've already exfoliated millions of dead skin cells.
Yeah?
Millions. You have trillions. I've forgotten the number now. But I suppose it varies with everybody because we're all different mm-hmm. heights and sizes and that. But it's academic, actually. You know, what matters is that you're getting rid of those skin cells.
And the salt itself does feel quite rough on your hands as you do it.
Yeah. This is a number 4 grade of 1 to 5.
They do different grades. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, because skin is different.
Yeah.
The different needs. Mm-hmm. And so right, you feel that's a bit there. Get over the back.
Missed
of your
that
hand.
Bit there. Right.
Yeah. Let's do it properly.
Sorry.
I'm not having you saying I'm no good. Right, now, cup your hands and we'll mm-hmm. put that little bit back on there and just do it one more time.
Okay.
This is a bit for good luck.
And is there a normal time that you'd expect someone to be doing this?
I want you to do that for about a full minute, which right. mm-hmm. we've done now, that's mm-hmm. all. Yeah. Yep. So, some tepid water.
Hands
just
in there.
Just in there, mm-hmm. yeah. Slush that around a little. Just rinse off. There are moisturising oils in there
right.
because the skin is in 3 basic layers, the dermis, the epidermis and the subcutaneous layer. The dermis is your dead skin that's just waiting to fall off. The epidermis is the bit underneath where everything goes on. Mm-hmm. That is where your hair follicles, your sweat glands, your blood vessels, all of this is down in that layer, and then the subcutaneous layer underneath is just your fat that gives a fuel and feed to your skin. Mm-hmm. Then just a quick pat dry.
All right.
We don't rub, or we'll rub off the moisturisers. And all we've done there now is take off one layer of dead skin cells. It's left behind the skin cells that weren't dead.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only
exfoliate.
They're
attached still.
They're still attached, dead, yeah. Yeah, so simple. You know.
And that already feels softer.
Now, if you rub those together.
Yeah, they just slide over each other now. That is amazing, the difference. That was the minute. It didn't hurt. My hands are slightly redder than they were, but I've been rubbing them together.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll go off in seconds.
Yeah,
you've stimulated the blood in them.
Yeah, that is amazing. That has shifted. I don't know what off there, but they just like slide over each other now. That is amazing.
Filthy little thing. Do you see now the wow factor?
Yeah.
This is big business. When somebody is sent out. like the Alan Sugar, the Apprentice guys, and they're going out and don't come back without the deal signed for £5 million.
Mm.
It is so important that every aspect of that person, as they walk into that office, is good. And a good handshake,
good handshake
can
but...
make or break a deal.
Yeah.
If they don't like you, you've got a hard battle of selling your product.
So it's about building you as the product and using
and
everything
you
can.
And this
can.
Is where we extend. And so many people are starting to understand this. There's so many articles in men's magazines, and men's magazines have moved on. You know, it isn't Photography Weekly and Fishing Gazette anymore. There's one end of the market, which is the nuts and that sort of thing. The teeny lads titillating sort of mags. But they have some good articles. And then you go through the health mags, men's fitness, men's health, and up to the GQ and Attitude and all of the upper market end. But the articles are all addressed at men of how to look after yourself. And people come to me and tell me what they've read, and can you do it? You know, yeah, of course I can. Mm-hmm. I don't have to sell it.
Yeah.
People come to
me wanting it. They want to have something done to make themselves feel better about themselves.
Yeah. And that's job done. I'll warm up the hot rocks. They'll be ready when you need them.
The microwave?
Show you they go in the microwave.
Right. Right, what are they made of?
They're andesite from the Andes.
And it reacts to the microwave and warms.
You see the different elements marbled through them there. There's carbon and clay and limestone. And they're harder minerals than the igneous rock, the greyish brownish part there. So those elements hold the heat. And the softer elements, the more porous rock, allows that to pass through.
Yeah.
It's a therapy that I research from ancient Roman times in the spa baths of Rome.
Because they'd use the waters rather than the microwave in those days.
Yeah, they would heat them in hot water. But if you heat something in hot water, the outside gets hot first.
But the inside doesn't.
And the inside doesn't.
Microwave.
Like baking a pie.
Microwave, it's the other way around.
Yeah. So if I take the temperature, I've got an infrared thermometer and experience as well. If I take the temperature of the surface of the rock and it says 53, then I know the inside is hot as well.
Yeah.
Because they've been heated in a microwave. If I'd done them in hot water, the surface could be 53, but the inside could be 10.
And they'd lose the temperature.
And that would
really
then
quickly
conduct the heat into the centre, and come the time to use them, they're too cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go on, and this is heat conduction, that's physics, I think, isn't
it? It is.
Yeah. So you're at 37 degrees body temperature. These are at 53, plus or minus a couple. I do the ones we're going to use last a little bit hotter, so by the time we come round to them, they've cooled a little, so they're constantly at the same temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And you conduct the heat into your body. If you've got any knots of tension in the muscles, they conduct it. The soft tissue of the muscle allows it to pass through.
Yeah.
If it comes to a tightness in the muscle, in your shoulder, for instance, that is like a brick wall. The heat hits the brick wall and conducts the heat. When something conducts heat, it expands. Bimetallic strips, back to school labs.
Yeah.
So when something conducts heat, it expands. And when tension expands, it loses the tension.
Mm-hmm.
It's scientific, but very therapeutic and very, very relaxing.
To the microwave you go.
So I'll be back in a few seconds. There's another set of rocks as well. These are carnelian, which if you see the difference, those are quite red. They come from the seabed, and those where these are large ones, and these I use the hot rocks, the andesite, on the large muscle sets, so across the shoulders, the legs, the glutes, the back. But this one, they would be heated. That I haven't even
smoothed
today,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that would go under the shoulder blade on a groin strain, the back of the knee, an elbow, where we need to get a bit more precise than just a larger area. These would be used way back in the spa baths of Rome. The hierarchy of Rome, the emperors, the senators, the noblemen, the military was very powerful, so the generals would take the spa waters all day, just laze around, and then jump out and have the favourite servant massage them with hot rocks, and then back into the water. The rocks were heated in hot water, as we were saying earlier. But the working classes were kept in the place. They weren't allowed certain privileges. They weren't allowed running water in the homes or flush toilets, central heating. It kept them in the place, rather like the Victorian mill owners. Build loads of terrace streets and make people grateful to have a roof over their heads and keep them in the place, let them know the place. But with the hot rocks, they allowed them to use those, not with servants to do it, but if we were both building a road or the Colosseum and it was backbreaking work, they weren't so stupid as to know that they got a better day's work out of us if we were feeling well, rather than if we ached. So we were given the privilege of using hot rocks, but we had to do each other. I'll do your back, you do mine. And that gives us the, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, the phrase that we still use today. I'll relax. I didn't just put them on your body and startle you. I tap them together gently each time I'm going to start and change them for hot ones. Tap, tap.
Okay.
So nice and quietly now for a few minutes and relax and let your mind drift away now and let every cell of your body relax. Let all the stresses of modern life just fall away and enjoy.
Okay.
So, Phil, very relaxing. The hot rock's absolutely amazing. How much would it normally cost?
I do a basic charge is £30 for an hour and then just a fiver for each extra half hour if you go over. But I have a package which I put together, which takes about 2 hours, so the same price. The Power Pamper, which includes grooming, body scrub, massage, putting right any clinical problems, aching back and that. We get the clinical stuff out of the way first. And then just let you relax and chill out, and that's £40 for a couple of hours. Good stuff. A regular recommendation, I'd say.
Phil Cook, thank you.
Thanks.
And so, Zoe, do you think my hands do look softer after
they
all
look
that?
Lovely, Jason. That's the salt, I presume, isn't it?
Yeah, it took the surface. It was amazing the difference it made. Do you actually do that sort of stuff? Do you get looked after?
Not on my hands, I must admit, but I could do something with my feet.
Do you get calluses from carrying your Prada handbag around?
No, my feet are terrible. Actually, I'm quite good with my hands. I'll do my nails and I'll put softener on and moisturiser, so my hands are all right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't very often have a chance to do my face. I'd like to moisturise it a bit more.
Yeah.
Looking a bit saggy now, Jason.
I'm not going to make any comments because I'll be in trouble.
I need something to...
You haven't conditioned or dyed your hair recently either, have you? But
no, good couple of months.
Yes.
Good couple of inches.
Yeah,
it
shows, to be honest. But there we are. But so maybe we can get you along for a pair of pamper and you can get sorted out.
Oh, please, you think he'll do me a discount?
You never know. We'll ask the question. You're worse than me, you are. Well, there we go. Right, been lovely being with you for episode 116. Back next week for 117. And we'll see what we've got then.
We will indeed.
More music, more chat, and more stuff from around the Midlands and beyond. Right, so
No.
You just thought? We just thought of something. What?
Well, no, it's all right. I need to check whether she's certainly, definitely doing it. But there's a lovely singer that I'm hoping to get in for the 5th.
Okay.
Yes, she's fantastic.
Right.
Liz. Yes.
Find out next week whether it actually happened, whether Zoe can organise anything. We'll be back then. To half an hour.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.